Hey, everybody, thank you so much for listening to the Cooligans. We are in the back of an Uber because maybe we forgot to do the intro. We've been having a good time out here. We talked to Tony Meola and Keith Costigan. And you know what else? My dad shows up. Psych.
Oh, man. Yep. I mean, you got people's hopes up for a second. We're at MLS Media Day, getting all the behind-the-scenes action and getting ready for the 2025 MLS season. We also talked to Dax McCarty, the newest member of the MLS season pass team. So, all this and more today on the Cooligans.
All right, welcome back to the Cooligans, everybody. You usually do the "we're excited," blah blah blah.
We are very excited because we ran over to the SiriusXM FC booth.
Yeah, how many acronyms can you throw on the back of that?
We said we gotta get these guys on because they haven't been on the show.
No.
Yet. Tony, have you been like formally on the show?
No, I've been in your shows. I've been to your shows, and you dragged me on stage. You talk about painful. A comedy show.
You watched us do stand-up.
That's right. I came to one of your stand-ups. Yeah. Was it Atlanta?
So we are.
I had a blast until we dragged you on stage. It was going well.
Yeah, you really shy away from the spotlight there, Tom.
Two legends of the game, all right, in different ways, but absolutely honored, Tony Meola and Keith Costigan. Thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thank you. Legend, like, there's Tony. I feel like I'm just like...
No,
he's a legend. I went to elementary school with a building that touched the bar that was famous for building a third of the 94 World Cup team, and Tony Meola in the Scots American Club. So, dude, this guy was like, we were like, oh, Tony's here.
I named something in Carney's like, I was there like in 1982. I climbed through the thing. He's been to every place in Carney.
I'm not that old, by the way. I'm climbing through fences in 1982. The big stash has your poster. Yeah. I mean, this guy was like an ever-present figure in my life, and now I get to like work with him and hang out with him. It's kind of crazy.
I feel bad for Tony.
It must be an honor for you too, Tone. I mean, now that I think about it.
It is, man.
Why were you climbing through fences in 82? I don't know.
I grew up in North. Had to get to the field, man.
Where are you from? You from Liverpool?
No, I'm from Dublin.
You're from Dublin?
So Dublin, it's Liverpool or Man United.
All right, did you ever watch Love Hate?
Of course.
Okay, Nidge. That was my life. I got a bone to pick with you. I love that show.
But, you know, speaking of legends, I mean, Keith, you are in the last, especially since we've been doing our show in the last 10 years, to me, you are also one of the voices of American soccer and Major League Soccer. There is a certain comfort I feel when I hear your voice on a broadcast.
I like that. Comfort is good. Yeah. No, look, you know, kind of like you guys, like you grew up watching the game, you grew up being a part of the game, and then you work with people like Tony and players like, you know, when you have heroes and you want them to be good people. So it's kind of cool when you get to work with them. You're like, yeah, they're good guys. Tony doesn't fit into that category.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, adjacent, the other people though. I work with, Mo, everybody.
If you would have really grasped the opportunity.
Cool. I started with him in the business.
Yeah.
Okay. We were calling, we started, I think it was under 17 World Cup qualifiers, right? Yeah. Keith and I did in 3 months, we did 40 games together. There were only two people in the country that knew anything about our youth national teams.
Yeah.
And it was us two. So we stood in a 4x4 booth for 2 months together, right? Calling all these games. So, but I started with Keith in the business.
Amazing.
That's wild. When you think about it, it's crazy that these are, you know, people we grew up listening to or watching, and now we get to work with them and they get to be on our show. That's crazy that we have these folks on our show. But I guess, you know, we've been asking a lot of people this, and you guys are probably just as good to answer it. Just talk about where the game is now. Not just Lionel Messi being in, but there's documentaries being filmed about MLS. Bro, when you played in MLS, it was like trying to get, maybe past the first year, it was trying to get people to talk about it more. And now it seems like we're really on that up now.
Yeah, the first year was actually good because there was so much excitement. It was the second and third year that became a little bit more difficult, right? We were losing some teams in the league. We just talked to, obviously we're interviewing the same people, and the sentiment has been, you know, it's so easy to talk about how many stadiums we've built, right? And how many more cities we have in the league. But let's talk about the quality of the players and the number of players and the number of players that are developing. It's amazing to me that we've gotten to the place. This is where I dreamed it would be when I started in 1996, and we all grew up trying to grow the game a little bit. It's not where I thought it would be. at least not here in 2025. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have far surpassed anything that I thought that this league would be, and we keep going in the right direction, in my opinion.
Yeah, this is the 30th year of Major League Soccer.
Wild.
For some, the fact that it even got this far, especially with, you know, teams contracting and there was highs and lows. But even as a broadcaster, seeing one of the things I love and what I think a lot of people don't give you guys credit for is that not only did you play in the league, not only did you cover the league, but that you also get to maintain and carry the stories. You're like historians for Major League Soccer, because like you just mentioned right now, you were the only two that knew about these youth national teams. But there's a little bit of like more people, not enough people know about the past of the league, even if it's like 5 or 6 years past. So what do you guys think about that responsibility of like passing the stories on to those younger generations about this league so that they can basically, you can pass the torch to someone?
Well, I think we're in this generation now of people who've come up, like you guys, what you guys do, and you talk about Tony, you know, we know about you guys, and we're going into second generation mm-hmm. of MLS fans. I get super annoyed when people compare a 30-year-old league or 25, whatever it was at the time, with a league that's been around in 1991, English football was on its knees. Like, it was struggling. Mm-hmm. Mirandinha was the Brazilian they had in English football. Yeah, you ever heard of Mirandinha? Yeah. Brazilians don't know Mirandinha.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
They weren't getting... So this idea that they were getting no TV money, all of those things. So the idea that, like, you compare... Well, it's not the Premier League. Yeah, okay. No shit. No worries. Yeah, apologies. Right. But no, I love the fact that we're building that on. And I love seeing the younger fans, like you guys coming in, the enthusiasm, the knowledge you have for it, and where you take it moving forward. We have so many different platforms now that cover the league in so many different ways that I love. That for me, as someone that broadcasts it, is one of the things I'm most proud of.
As an Irishman, you look at this and... You know, I kind of fell in love a little bit with the Bohemians when I was out in Dublin performing. I was at Whelan's and someone came and brought me a Bohemians kit because I was like, oh, the derby's going on, right? Shamrock Rovers and the Bows. And I was like, yo, which team is from the hood? Like, that's the one I want to represent. And someone's like, the Bows. And I was like, all right, I need a Bows kit. They're like, they only sell them at the games. I'm performing on Friday. One of the fans that listens to our show went and bought the kit at the game and got to the venue and gave it to me at the end of the show. So I still love it. And I still have it. But I look every once in a while, like watch something or highlights in that league. And I think they're so close to England. They have a long history, also called soccer. And MLS feels like it's glitzier and more glamorous. It's like, talking just about the difference of like, there's so many countries that wishes they had a league like MLS.
100%. So for me, it's always the great example. I have Irish friends in this country that will be like, oh, MLS. I'm like, dude, do you realize, like, Thierry Henry was here.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Thierry Henry, the god of the Premier League at the very beginning. For me, I'm a Liverpool fan. I can say it. The greatest player I watched in the Premier League. And he comes to New York. Lionel Messi, like, League of Ireland is struck. There's so many leagues that don't take steps at all.
Yeah.
They stay there. And look, I love League of Ireland because it's my home country. You know, I'm a Bows fan too.
Let's go up the Bows.
And you watch it, but that next step is so difficult to take. But how MLS has managed that, and you know, you can spend this amount. Now we're gonna bring that up a little bit. They're doing it the right way. As much as we all like to say, hey, go out and sign everybody, and it's not feasible to grow. So I'm proud of that, and I do think the context is looking at leagues that you've already passed. You know, I get there. But look down too, because MLS is above a lot of leagues in terms of what they do. And a lot of leagues look at MLS in an envious fashion because it's been so good.
Yeah, real quick, I want to get your thoughts on a couple of things in Europe. Just before we started recording, Sean Dyche, manager of Everton.
Ex-manager of
Everton. has been announced that he has been sacked. I mean, as an Everton
look
fan...
Look how happy Keith is right now as
actually,
a Liverpool fan.
I thought
fan.
You brought me on to be like an extra to make it look like you'd interviewed Sean Dyche because I'm ginger.
You got to shave your head,
it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
There's a little bit of... I'm not happy that he has been let go, because Everton have been so terribly like underperforming, not scoring goals. But even as a Liverpool fan and seeing the blue side and kind of like what's going on there, what were your initial thoughts when you first heard the news?
First of all, I met him. He brought me around Burnley when he was in Burnley coach. My wife was with me that day. He was joking about LA. Very similar here in Burnley. This guy is like the nice, like the salt of the earth guy. And I remember leaving saying, I can see why people would run through a brick wall for him. Loved him. Having said that, I would rather stick pins in my eyes than watch his teams play.
Same fact.
Like, yeah, it's just, they're not a good team to watch. If you don't have much and you want to get every little bit out of that group in the championship, perfect. But I can understand why Everton new owners have said, we're going to make the move. I do. On a personal level, like him. As a coach, his teams, Tony, they weren't good to watch.
Going to miss his press conferences. That raspy voice. Yeah. You know, he's the guy you want to have a beer with and smoke. I don't drink or smoke.
No, I want to have a hot tea with the guy. Fix that, will you? Buddy, see a doctor.
Yeah, there was nothing that led you to believe that he should stick around anymore. And it sucks for managers, right? This is their life, right? You get judged on one thing, and that's winning. And, and you don't win enough, and you get fired.
Yeah. And then the other thing, the Supercopa final.
We got a Milanista.
We got a Milanista. Here, so we got to talk about just Pulisic and the performances from Yunus Musa. The semifinal and the final were kind of just remarkable to see, and those huge comebacks. But what is there's an excitement, I think, for American soccer fans to see two high-profile players find some success. But as a former national team player and as a Milanista, what were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, look, it wasn't going well. Conte Sao, and I'm on record, he was the guy I wanted in the summer. Right, he was the guy, and Milan fans were worried about. He's arguing with the press, he's arguing with the players, but it was what that team needed, right? It's what they really needed. And I'm looking at it now. There wasn't a lot of good football in the first halves of both of those games, semifinals and finals. But there was a spirit about the second half. I mean, Rafa Leao chased the guy down and pulled his hair in the sideline and tugged him down. Like, we're just happy he chased him down. Forget the rest of the stuff.
Hey, he turned back. Everybody.
Yeah. He went back.
I love the extra credit. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and Conte Sal even said, this is not good enough in the first half. He talked after the semifinals. It wasn't good enough. We needed to pick up the energy. That's what that team needs. And to see that Christian Pulisic has been carrying the torch for that group for an entire season. I still don't think we give enough credit to how big Milan is, right? Yeah, in world football.
Yep.
Okay.
Historically massive.
They're historic. I mean, they won a Scudetto a couple years ago. So it's not like they've been that far off the pace of things, right? It hasn't been good, but he's been the number one guy. And then I still want to see how this turns out with Conte Sal, but don't minimize the fact that Yunus Musa comes on as a sub in the semifinals and gets an important moment. Okay, it was a deflected goal, I understand, but he still played well in the game, and then he starts in the finals. That's not a minor detail, right? That's a manager said, hey, I liked what you did in 25 minutes, or actually it was a little bit longer, right? He came on for an injury. But I like what you did as a sub. You're going to start in a final, by the way.
Huge.
Right? So I think we know Christian is going to play. I'm interested to see now what happens with Yunus Musa. Yeah.
By the way, I'm not Tony. I don't know how you guys feel. I don't think we give Christian enough credit in terms of how he shows up in big games. Every time the U.S. play Mexico, I have zero doubt. You know when you say, our big player, he always shows up in big moments. I think he's got an incredible, incredible appetite for the big moments in the biggest games.
I agree with you.
I love watching him.
I think he's showed up all the time. Like, every time we've asked him to show up, he's shown up, especially after the Chelsea move. This has been a wonderful move for him. I think we're starting to get to see, like, the character we kind of know he was or he could be in the club game. We're starting to see it. But maybe you guys can talk me off a ledge a little bit when it comes to, there's something else. There's another level that we want to see in the goal, the pass to the pre-assist, if you will, in the
final.
I mean, what an absolute. That's the moment where I said, okay, we're starting to see him want to be that guy, but show that he is the guy. He is him. Am I off? Because the penalty thing still kind of lingers in the back of my head of, like, just sort of allowing that to happen. It's there's something about
this guy, Christian Pulisic. I want to see him be like, nah, you're not going to do that to me.
Well, did you see the last penalty kick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was no one within 20 yards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was one guy with a ball in his hand, and it was yeah. Christian Pulisic, and he was taking the penalty kick.
But
right?
You know what I mean, right? Like, just to becoming an authority guy. No,
we
had this argument
on air, but yeah. we felt differently on air about how he should have reacted. Not, I think we agreed on the situation sucked for everybody, but how he reacted. You and I disagreed on air about that. But this time around, right, this is the correction. And with a new manager, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a different manager from when that all happened. So that's kind of progress. That's steps you take in your career.
Well, one thing, by the way, I think we look back at Chelsea. We always talk about Chelsea didn't work out. I think we're in a place now where we can look back and say Chelsea was the issue.
Yeah, of course.
Because you look at Mudryk, you look at Madueke in and out. Like, name the player outside of Cole Palmer that's come into Chelsea in those wide positions. And you're like, oh, every week. Chelsea was the issue because there's so much chop and change. So I think Christian Pulisic has put that behind him. Whether he wants to go to a bigger club, Tony, it's up to him.
Why, is Inter club?
No, I'm joking. Guys, you're not going to break me down. I'm not going to do it.
No, I know you guys got to get to an interview, but you guys, again, honored to be chatting with you guys. You guys are welcome anytime. Tony, we got to get you in the studio in the city sometime. I know.
You can't avoid us.
You can't avoid us for too long. This guy has 18 jobs in
sit next to the guy like every other day. He hasn't asked me. I'm just saying.
Honestly, where are you heading to later? Nowhere in particular.
He's like, I'm home. I'm tired.
I put a
Taylor
ham, egg, and cheese on a stick, and I was trying to get him out of the studio into the train.
No, but I want to say I mean it for me, like, to be here, to see what you guys do for the game is incredible, too. So when you say you heard of, we hear your voices. Like, we hear what you do.
I feel like I need to apologize to you now that you said it.
I'm sorry, I hear what you said. We'll talk later.
No. I feel bad that you have to hear my voice.
Dude, it's an honor. Thank you for saying
that. Keith and Tony, thank you so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us, man.
All right, welcome back to the Cooligans, baby. We are still here in Miami.
In Miami, MLS Media Days. And
Media Days.
Days, okay. It's
D-A-Z-E.
Okay, we rebranded.
Yeah, you're welcome.
But everybody's walking down the halls. Everybody. We're seeing all the homies, all the friends.
He might be the first friend of the podcast, whether he likes it or not.
Sure, we befriended him before he befriended us.
We jumped in and said, we've met before, and we've never met. But ladies and gentlemen, new member of the MLS media community.
Yeah.
Dax McCarty.
Dax.
You jump in an hour game, buddy.
I know, man. I know. I'm a little nervous. It's a little different.
I don't know, man. I mean, it's always been something for the last couple of years that people have said, like, Dax, your career, your the end of your playing career and your next chapter was almost already decided. You were so good on camera that people were like,
he got to do media.
We know he's going to end up doing.
I'm offended. I'm offended. People are like, look at this guy. Yeah. He's either going to do coaching or media. Yeah. Why couldn't I have been like a finance guru or something?
You
want to
be one of those?
No, like, absolutely not.
You ever see those MLS guys where their Instagram feed is like playing.
Real estate.
Loan
officer.
What?
Alan Gordon.
Yeah, that's
mortgage
what
loans.
Actually. I'm like, did you save no money, dog?
Exactly. Because I think of Alan Gordon as, you know, a 95th minute game winner.
Header.
Also putting his junk
in a boot. In the cleat
with the Chicago
that photo
fight.
Will never not be great.
Also, excellent podcaster.
Great podcaster. Yes, great
Major League journeyman.
Exactly.
Myself, Dan Gargan, Alan Gordon.
Yeah.
They're actually upset. They were like, Dax, you're down there now. The Cooligans are down there. Why aren't we down there?
Yeah.
I'm like, you're slanging mortgages.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me you can come down here in the middle of a work week
right.
and just hang out? I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, dude. I like how you're like, buddy, you need to get your
Yeah, that's
together.
My point. I'm here. I'm ready.
I love it. But no.
Was it a tough decision, though, to decide to go to this side of the camera? Because it's different. And also, your former players and your friends are now listening to what you're saying about them.
Agreed. But it wasn't a tough decision because I had been thinking about it for a long time. And as you get older, as you age, the end comes for everybody. Mm-hmm. And would it have been nice to be able to play like Kai Kamara into my 40s? Sure.
Yeah.
But also I'm not a physical athletic specimen.
He is timeless.
Like Kai Kamara.
Yeah.
He was like grown in a lab.
Yeah. I'm going to say something to you that I think might offend you at first, but then you're going to realize it's a compliment, especially in about 10 or 15 years. You've always looked 35.
Thank you.
From the moment
that.
You started in this league to right now, you're going to start.
Funny,
now you're in your Benjamin Button era where people will be like, you're how old?
It's funny because in college, I actually looked like I was 15.
Right.
And then I turned pro, and my first professional headshot, I looked like a fat 31-year-old used car salesman.
Yeah. I was going to bring this up because we talked about it. We talked about this on the show. I don't know if you saw the clip, but there's that your headshot for FT Dallas.
Yep.
Where you apparently didn't bring your neck with you. You
know what I mean? Oh, I know what you're talking about. The guy's hiding.
It was just back to head. That was it.
Which I don't know exactly what, you know, you're working on the lats.
Honestly, I have a bone to pick with that photographer because it's definitely the angle. Yeah. Okay. Or the lighting or something.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's blame the equipment. That's what I do every time.
But to answer your question, it was... It's always a tough decision to walk away. Mm-hmm. I think any player will tell you that. But for me, I just had so much clarity in my head that this was what I wanted to do because I love the game and I love watching the game and I love talking about the game.
Right.
And every time I did that, it was mostly to my wife. And she was like, can you find someone else to talk to about this?
Do you have friends?
Honestly.
Is there a universe of people who want to hear this? Because it's not this one.
Correct. Yeah. And so, listen, man, like the fact that I got to play, do what I love for 19 years, and the fact that I'm lucky enough to now step into the next phase of my career with the clarity that I have, I feel really lucky. Mm-hmm. Because not a lot of people get to do what I'm doing, which is play a long time and then retire, like knowing you have something else on the back end.
Right.
And so I'm really happy, man. My cup is full. Obviously, like the run we went on with Atlanta United, where you know I didn't play a ton in 2024, but like I played a lot in the playoffs and I played pretty well. And so being able to go out in that way, like obviously I would have loved to gone out with an MLS Cup, but I think the best consolation would have been, hey, like you helped knock out the team that everyone considered the greatest MLS team of all time. So like that's a small consolation, right? And so listen, man, I'm excited about the next chapter. And yes, I do hope that all my former friends and teammates that I'm going to have to talk about realize, listen, I love you. It's nothing personal, but I got a job to do now.
Yeah,
exactly.
And did you think when you started your career, when you took that no neck headshot, that you, by the end of your career, you would have stayed in MLS, but have played against and with such legends of the game as well? Your Henrys, your Wayne Rooney's, your Lionel Messi's, Suarez's. You've played with and against some really huge names. And the cool thing about it is anyone who played with you gives you so much credit, so many plaudits. Oh, in training, this guy. Oh, he could have played anywhere he wanted. It's crazy.
Listen, it's pretty surreal. I got to be honest. Back in 2006, if you would have told me then, you know, all the great players that I got to play with and against now, mm-hmm. and how far MLS has come, I would have called you crazy. I would have called you a crazy a-hole.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone could have really seen the trajectory here. And then, you know, bringing David Beckham into the league in 2007, it was kind of like, okay, well, we're not in MLS 1.0 anymore. Yeah. Like, we're going to the next phase. And then bringing in Zlatan, it was like, okay, that's another like big step in the right direction. And then it was almost like, okay, well, now we're bringing in players like Bastian Schweinsteiger, Wayne Rooney, Steven Gerrard, like, oh, wow, like these are world-class players, and it's almost like no one even breaks a sweat or no one blinks. And now you're like, okay, well, you get to bring in Lionel Messi into the league, the greatest player of all time. Well, you're in a different stratosphere now. And don't get me wrong, MLS still has a long way to go. There's a lot of things that I still think can be improved. But from where we were in 2006 to where we are now, night and day.
Seriously.
Yeah. I do want to get into a little bit more detail about that run with Atlanta United because, you know, you are Dax, a.k.a. Messi Slayer McCarty, bro.
It's got a nice ring to it, man. Dad, jeez.
I feel like you should be wearing like a fur and holding a sword.
Can we trademark that?
Jesus. Because, I mean, that run, I'm curious just about what the reaction was, maybe from other players and friends or what kind of text messages you got, because there was a... I mean, obviously, you guys played the ultimate spoilers.
Yep.
And it's I mean, whether people like it or not, everybody kind of sort of wanted to see the storyline be.
Did you get a text from Don Garber like, help me out, man. We need to keep these guys in the play.
Hey, man, hey, congrats. Our ratings just tanked. Because, appreciate it.
We saw the celebration on the pitch. We saw how happy you guys were. I saw you talking to Brad on Journeyman. But, man, that must have been a significant moment in your career.
It was really beautiful, and it was poetic. And it was something that you win a playoff series. I mean, no one really should bat an eye at that. But because of the season that we had in Atlanta with all the turmoil, we sold three players for $40 million, three of our best players.
Casual.
$40 million. We lost our head coach, and we had an interim coach for 6 months. And so you just add all that up, and it was really inconsistent the whole year for our team. And then for me, it was difficult for me because, full disclosure, like, this 2024 was a little bit of a test case. Am I going to be able to live with a new role where I'm coming off the bench more than I'm playing from the beginning and starting? Because I hadn't done that since 2006 in my career. Full disclosure, it sucked.
Yeah.
Mentally, it was very difficult for me. And so then when we got in the playoffs and we went on that run and when we beat Miami, it was almost this cathartic proof. Like, hey, man, like I was proving to myself I could still do it at a high level.
Like,
right?
You still have value on
correct,
the pitch.
Correct. Because I felt like undervalued for most of my career. But then even in Atlanta, it was like, man, I feel like I should be playing more, but I want to be a good teammate. I'll help the team in any role that they see. But then we had such a weird year and like we didn't play that well and it was inconsistent. And I was thinking I could help this team if I played more. But then the Miami series, I don't think you can ever really plan on beating a team as good as Miami in a three-game series. Mm-hmm. It was like, honestly, internally, we had to have the belief, but I don't disparage anyone for being like, we didn't pick you.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
win.
Right.
Like, no one did.
Yeah.
So I don't disparage
none
anyone.
None of us did. Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah,
appreciate
yeah,
you guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Idiots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we look like dummies, bro. Yeah.
But to be honest, like, this probably, like, won't even be a blip on Messi's radar in terms of his whole career and everything he's accomplished. But look, for our team
in Atlanta.
Did you
make eye contact with him when it went down? Just to get a glimpse of it?
No, I think he was off the field pretty quickly. Like, yeah. I think he was pretty pissed because, look, he's like at his core, like he's a winner.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's the GOAT. So like he was off the field, I think, pretty quickly. And, you know, we were kind of a little bit in disbelief. Like, we really just did that. Like, we really just slayed the Giants. Right.
Yeah.
And so, look, man, it was a great feeling. It was, like I said, I would have preferred an MLS Cup, but going out, beating a team like that and kind of shaking up the entire postseason, you know, that was a cool feeling, man. It was a cool feeling to be able to walk away from the game, I'm talking about myself, knowing that I could still play at a high level.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful.
And
way
there
to
was
look at
I mean, there was you guys lost when you were in Nashville against
League's Cup final,
yeah.
Crazy penalty kick shootout,
right? Yeah. So there's at least a little bit of like a little bit of revenge,
sure. Absolutely.
Like, yeah, I got
a little
back.
Bit of redemption.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And yeah,
it's gonna look good in the documentary
for sure.
You know what I mean?
I tell you what, I got a lot of crap after that game for posting the picture of Messi's jersey, but that was a nice consolation to get.
Yes,
I have
yes,
to say.
I do recall. Right. Yeah, because
a little,
I mean,
something for the treasure trove.
That's going above the bed.
Yeah,
whether my wife likes it or not in the new
touch
house.
Touch it on.
Yeah,
touch right before you go to bed.
It's going above the bed.
Yeah, because I mean, last year that year when Messi joined the league, it rocked.
Yeah,
The second season was a little bit more like we sort of know what we're getting
sure.
involved in, but that first season, everybody wanted.
It seemed like the world immediately tuned into this too.
Not just wanted to win, but like just even to share the pitch and just get an opportunity to play. So you know that, and Nashville, especially that season, it was that sort of that close. But that there was a development of like, hey, is this a new rivalry, Nashville and Miami? Because that really felt like the beginning of something important.
We did play against them quite a few times. And even, I mean, I look at even how fortunate am I that Messi joined the league middle of 2023. And I think I got to play against him in a year and a half, probably like six or seven times.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like insane, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So
any other league in the world, that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't, right? Because then you have League's Cup, you have Open Cup, you have MLS,
right.
And then obviously the playoff format with the three playoff games.
Yeah, right.
You know, just playing them down in Miami and then having him come with Miami and play in Atlanta where we win on like a dramatic, late, last-minute game-winning goal from Sean De Silva. And I mean, when I tell you like 70,000 people like erupted.
Yeah, dude. We've been
that was insane.
Yeah.
Like, I swear if the roof wasn't open, like the roof would have been blown off the place.
Yeah.
Like, it was crazy.
The
and I know
would have shook.
I feel like Atlanta United, I mean, they've had some obviously fantastic wins and fantastic moments in their history, right? MLS Cup champions, 2018, Open Cup champions. I think they won Campeones Cup, you know, a few things that obviously fans are proud of. But that moment in particular, I would be hard pressed to find an Atlanta United fan who was there that probably wouldn't put that moment in like the top two or three in Atlanta United's history.
Yeah, and they've won MLS Cup. And we were in that building and that place shook. Yeah. I want to ask one more thing from that game in particular. Look, I know when you're a teammate, bro, if somebody came at Christian, I'd want to fight the world. Nobody, you don't touch a teammate, right? Especially when you're in a team. When you see your boy Brad Guzan get fishnetted into the goal, what goes through your head immediately, bro?
I was on the bench.
Yeah.
And honestly, my first reaction was that, okay, Brad is bigger than any person on the field. Right, he will be able to take care of himself.
Yeah, he's the wooden bear outside of a cigar shop.
Correct, correct.
He's a massive human being.
My first reaction was like, Brad doesn't need any backup, but if I was on the field, I would have backed him up, but I wasn't. So then my next inclination was just to laugh hysterically because I was under my breath because it was the equalizer and I was like,
yeah,
damn. But I'm telling you guys right now, when I went back to the hotel room, I didn't travel back with the team because we had a few days off before that third leg. That was the first game down there.
Was it? No, I thought that was in Atlanta.
No. When he got stuck in the net, that was the third game.
The third game.
So we had a few days off after that. And I stayed down in Miami, spent some time with family. My wife and kids were down there. And I was in the hotel room, and my wife and kids were in one bed. And I was like, I'm never sleeping, by the way. It's awful because right. I can't sleep after games and then my kids are moving around everywhere. So I was in the hotel room. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. So from 2 o'clock in the morning till about 3:30, I just watched different angles of him trying to get out of the net.
Yeah.
And I was in the bathroom just laughing so hard at just, he was matrixing trying to get out of the net.
There's
and
no way
I was
to
thinking,
find balance in the way he
I was thinking
in.
Like his final hip thrust to get himself out because I knew how angry he was that Suarez was giving him the business.
Yeah.
And he couldn't, and Suarez was over him, and he was like this little guy that was like, I'm in the net right
Which,
now.
What was the last time that happened to him when he was
exactly,
eight?
Exactly. He was just fighting for his life in there. It was so funny. I'll never forget that. And the fact that the podcast, the fact that Brad was big enough to come on Major League Journeyman a few days later and talk about that and describe that moment, that was a big coup for the Journeyman. I was
that
very
was
proud
a big
of
one.
That.
Yeah,
that was
yeah,
a big
yeah.
one. Because Brad, you know, he's pretty guarded. He's a wonderful guy, but he's pretty guarded when he does stuff in the media. He doesn't like to talk about a lot of things. He doesn't open up a lot.
Yeah.
But that
I think
one
we've
was
interviewed
great.
Him. Yeah.
He's boring. I love you, Brad. You're a boring interview.
He does it on purpose.
He does.
He's like, you're getting nothing.
He does.
Yeah. Here's a couple crumbs and then I'm out.
It's just that he got that. He has too much like English media training.
He does.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's been there. He was there too
Trust
long.
Trust no one.
Yeah. But the thing of like your center of gravity is so shifted. Yeah, I'm watching him trying to get out and I'm thinking, what if that's your boy? I wouldn't know what to say to you, dog. I'd be like, yo, you got
a little. There was a little bit of a feeling of like, why are Miami allowed to sort of get away with this? It was like a little too much yelling in his face.
It was ridiculous. And the fact that Brad described his interaction with the ref afterwards as like the ref was like, hey, Brad, calm down. He's like, the hell are you talking about? They just did this to me.
Yeah. And I'm the victim.
Yeah, I'm the victim here. Don't tell me to calm down.
That was
great.
A couple things. I'm curious about your time in the matches playing against Messi and Inter Miami. What was the most frustrating goal that you gave up that you were just like one of those of like, it's Messi. There's not much you can do. And also the one of like, I could have done something to stop that.
The League's Cup final when I was in Nashville. So we ended up tying the game 1-1 and it went to penalties. But I don't know if you remember the League's Cup final. Messi was, he wasn't involved in the first half. He was just waltzing around.
Right?
Yeah. There's a fan video on social media and it's just 2 minutes long and it's of him. And he's kind of around the halfway line. We had possession of the ball and he's just kind of hanging out waiting. And then obviously like you see them win the ball back and they break towards our goal. And he comes alive and he goes on one of his sprints and he gets the ball at the top of the box. And the goal we conceded was so frustrating because me and Walker Zimmerman are there.
Yeah.
And let's go. I'm very clear in my head. Okay, he's going left.
You hear the coach. You know.
Yeah, no, I hear myself. Brother, he is going left. And so I'm there, and I'm kind of – and it's funny because when you play against him, like you know what he's going to do, but he's so much better than you. He can do it anyways.
Yeah.
So you almost have to overplay it, and I stumbled a little bit. And then so he kind of took a touch by, and then Walker stepped out. And Walker actually wins the ball. He actually gets a little touch on the ball, And when you're the greatest player of all time, sometimes these little fortunate bounces go your way, and the ball just kind of deflects back off Messi perfectly into his path, and I run around Walker to put my leg out to block it because I know he's shooting it. And as soon as it happens in literally a split second, as soon as he shoots it and the ball passes by my leg, I don't even have to look. I know. It's in. I know.
You really know.
I know. In my heart, I'm like, I know it's in. Because he's just that good. You know what I mean? Like when he's at the top of the box or when he's on the right side of the goal and he curls one, yeah. It's in. Like it just is. And so that goal for me was so frustrating because I was obviously involved in the play and it was a final and me and Walker both had a chance to make the play. And like we kind of did, but we didn't do enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He still found a way.
He still found a way, and it ended up obviously being a difference in the game because it's 1-1. Like maybe if we could have won that game 1-0, we're lifting League's Cup over them, right? But I mean, obviously for Messi mania and the hoopla that the league created with him winning League's Cup was pretty poetic.
Sure.
Yeah. Actually, you mentioned a bunch of players that you played against or you've played with. You've had obviously a very fortunate run with your time in MLS. We've asked this of people before. Jimmy Conrad explained one day he was at training in college and Canu from Arsenal had been there to help rehabilitate, and he was doing stuff and he was like, oh wait, we're doing the same thing, he just doesn't make any mistakes, maybe I could be a pro. Did you have a moment when you were playing where you were like, oh, even though these are big names, like, bro, I could play with these guys?
I mean, which one? Like,
yeah,
so like so many. I mean, I remember getting drafted to FC Dallas, and I remember going into preseason just being like a nervous wreck, right? And like you always have a little bit of confidence. Like I was a high draft pick, I knew I was gonna, you know, be a good player, but you just never really know. It's such a step up in level. And so like that first preseason we were playing, preseason used to be fun. Like preseason not fun anymore.
Right.
You just go to Florida or Arizona or California. Like you don't do any fun stuff anymore in preseason. But back then we would go to Brazil, we would go to England, we would go to Spain, like FC Dallas, but we were painting the map. We were going everywhere.
Pins everywhere.
It was awesome. And so like my first preseason, like after a first couple training sessions, I was like, oh man, like I can definitely like I can play for this team. Like I was thinking I might even start the first game, like all this stuff. So that was a moment where I was like, okay, I can definitely play at this level. And then it's funny because this game humbles you very quickly. First game rolls around and I'm not even on the bench.
Wow.
Like literally not. And I thought like, what is going on here? Right. And so I'll never forget it. Oscar Pareja, he was our assistant coach at the time. And he had just retired like a year or two before. And he was just starting his coaching career. And he was like feisty midfielder, like number six, number eight. Mm-hmm. And I remember we've had a reserve game a few weeks later, and I played in the reserve game and I totally tanked it. Like I was a little prick. Can I say that?
100%.
I was,
we said it about you before you got here.
Yeah, good.
Don't worry about it.
I had a bad attitude. Yeah. I played poorly. And I remember Oscar Pareja after the game, we lost 3-0 to a club team, Dallas Texans, who were kind of nasty back in the day.
Wow.
Lee Wynn, Omar Gonzalez.
Woo! Oh yeah. Yeah, proper.
Okay.
So fair enough. I'm not embarrassed about losing 3-0 to them. They were a club team, but whatever. And Oscar Pareja, in front of all the younger guys and the reserve guys, he pointed at me and he said, who do you think you are? Like, dug me out in front of everyone. He said, you haven't proven anything yet. You're not good enough to be on the field for the first team, even if you think you are. And that moment for me was like, okay, like, now I'm a pro, right? And so I always thought and knew I could play at this level, but then having that tough moment personally, not making the bench and not playing, to then going to the reserve team and you know, being a prick and not playing well, to then having him humble me, was a moment that I think really changed kind of the trajectory of like my attitude towards being a rookie and towards trying to get on the field. Cause I was like, all right, I need to prove myself on the training field a lot. Like it's not just about proving yourself in one training session or in a week. It's like you have multiple months here of like, you have older players who have equity with the coaching staff and you don't.
Yeah.
So that for me was like a really big wake up call because I thought like I should be playing right away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
And so I feel like every young player has maybe like a little moment like that where they have this wake up call and everything kind of clicks.
We should set up a service where Oscar Pareja shows up and yells at you.
Well, we sort of have been, we interviewed Oscar Pareja
when
we
were at FC Dallas.
Great guy.
And we sort of had a moment, not too dissimilar, but we were in a room like this. We're in a conference room, and we were interviewing several players, like Ronnie Hollingshead, Reggie Cannon, and they were
needed the next game in order to make it to the playoffs.
Okay. They were playing Sporting Kansas City. So FC Dallas invites us, and we're interviewing several of their players. And then Oscar Pereja, when he's the coach, he's outside the room, and he hears like Reggie Cannon laughing.
Oh, God.
We're making fun of him for being an Eminem fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you an Eminem fan? You're so young.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
There's better rappers. Like, this is, and he loves it. So he's laughing and having a good time. Oscar Pereja walks in furious.
Because he's like, why are my players laughing?
Wow.
Like,
I can see it.
This is a radio interview.
Like a serious
thing.
Yeah.
So he thinks Reggie Cannon is just like, you know, just laughing it off, doesn't need it.
Yeah.
So he told us, he tells the comms person, like, oh, okay, 5 minutes with these guys or whatever. And then, I mean, and
exactly.
He has a very serious look on his face. He's a very serious man.
He's a very thoughtful guy.
And the first 3-4 minutes, he's like just kind of like treating it like any regular kind of interview. And then he like laughs once. And
I asked him, I'm like, can you be my dad? I grew up without a father. And he broke
character.
Then he goes, good. Oh, okay, I get what you guys are doing. And And then we ended up speaking. It was supposed to be a 5-minute interview.
Yeah, he waved her off. He
lasted like 20 minutes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then we like had this, like, you could tell, sense that fatherly, where we didn't want to disappoint him for those next few minutes.
And then he told us at the end, he's like, I might have yelled at Reggie Cannon. He's like, I told him, it's like, you're not taking it serious enough.
So I think everyone needs a fatherly Colombian figure in their life, Oscar, just to put them in their place when they need.
Every once in a while, helicopter in.
Yell at you in Spanish, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
That's exactly what he is. So just to wrap up, and now, so 2025 MLS season, now Dax McCarty is going to be part of the season pass.
It's awesome.
Team is, it's obviously very
The league exciting. Is better with you involved, whether it's with a microphone or a ball in the
Without
pitch.
Without
a doubt.
Man. Because, you
Appreciate
know, you
guys.
Our first introduction to you was just really just hating you, right?
Good. For playing Red Bulls. Yeah, I get it.
And destroying.
That's why you didn't win a cup. I didn't want to say.
I can't argue that. I'm going to have to start figuring out ways to get around that. How am I going to get around that? Supporter shield, baby.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the banter won't end or whatever. But as far as now working at MLS and, you know, is there anything in particular you're excited about with this upcoming season?
Absolutely, man. I'm excited to see the game in a new way, in a different way. Like, I talked about this a little bit, but normally when I would watch games back or when I would watch video or like watch a game of like the team I was playing the next week, you know, I would have a certain like mentality of like how I was going to watch the game. Okay, I'm going to watch the midfielders, right? I think now because I'm in this role, I have to take a more holistic view of the games that I'm watching.
Sure.
It can't just be focused on midfielders. I've got to watch tactical, right, analysis of the game, right? Player strengths and weaknesses, not just midfielders, but center backs, left backs, right backs, wingers, strikers, goalkeepers, which having to watch goalkeepers is
who
tough
knows
for
what
me.
They're doing back there.
No,
it's a different sport. It's a whole different sport.
And you know what's funny is I was thinking, like, all right, I can't just be the guy who watches the Columbuses and the Miamis who play beautiful football and everyone likes watching. Like, I gotta watch the crap teams too.
Yeah.
You know, and
hoof and chase,
and I'm not
joints.
Listen, 2025, it's a new slate. I'm not gonna sit here and disparage any team that stank last year because we know in MLS things can change quickly, right? So if I say, oh man, it's gonna suck to watch the San Jose Earthquakes because they stank last year, well, guess what? Like, they got Big Bruce in now.
Yeah.
And they're making changes. And guess what? They could be good.
The San Jose Revolution.
There you go.
There you go.
It literally will be.
Exactly.
Because Bruce ain't sticking around.
So listen, I've got to be objective. Listen, and honestly, I think the hardest thing is going to be when called for. Like, guess what? Your job now is to be critical when you need to be critical. And if Nashville SC, if Hani Mukhtar misses a penalty or if he has a bad game, like,
you're about to get a text because you got to
say but that, like, that's my guy. But guess what? I'm going to be objective. I'm going to call it how I see it. And it's not personal, right? I mean, that's the problem, I think, when you transition from being a player to now being in the media is like, well, I was a player. Like, I know how it feels to get criticized and it sucks. And you want to disparage that person. So like what I'll try to do is like, I'm just going to try to use analytics to show why something was good or bad, right? Instead of just being clickbaity. Like, listen, who
you
knows?
Don't need that.
I don't want that. I don't
leave that for us.
Yeah, I'll leave
play.
That for you guys.
We
you,
didn't play,
you,
bro.
You
we need that.
Sure.
Can I give you some advice, though?
Please.
And as fans of the game, I think a lot of times players get into the media and they try to
speak like a media person. But what's missing is like, bro, you know what's in the player's head. Yeah. You know what should have happened. Yep. Let us into that. Like, clue us into those moments because it's so great. And that's the cool thing about you. Because you played in the midfield, you already know what the defender should have done. You already know what the striker should have done. You're like the perfect person, especially with your personality, to grab a microphone. I'm really excited for what it's going to look and sound like.
No, I appreciate you guys, man. And listen, who knows how it's going to go. I'm confident. I'm excited. I think it's going to go well. And I've got, you know, a little bit, you guys to thank a little bit for having me on and you know, give me a fruit bowl. And that kind of kicked off this whole media thing.
You know what? I didn't want to say it, but you're welcome.
Thank you.
You know?
We were trying to lift the profile. Right.
There you go.
If you don't have a good personality, we want to send you a fruit bowl. We said, this guy, maybe that's what we do. If we think you belong in the media, like, you know, Real Madrid will send you a note.
We send
a fruit bowl.
We can do a, like, fruit bowl of the year
kind of
thing.
Do it. Send him the Dax McCarty fruit bowl.
Yeah,
all right?
The fruit bowl.
You know how they have the Landon Donovan MVP? You get the Dax McCarty fruit bowl. If the hooligans think you can go into media, you're going to get it.
You can get it.
One last question. I'm just curious about your opinion on sometimes people are critical of the way analysis is sort of delivered through Major League Soccer or even just American soccer media, right? Because we see Thierry Henry sometimes on CBS kind of you know, showing all the tactical stuff. Sometimes people feel like Americans are not interested in that kind of aspect of the game. How do you feel about that that opinion?
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I think that it's obviously people have that opinion for a reason.
Sure.
We like I think as a sporting nation, soccer has always kind of been looked at as an afterthought. I don't look at it like that because I love it and I played it for my entire life. But if you look at, you know, traditional powerhouses, basketball, football, baseball, it's covered a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think the main thing for me, like when I look at stuff like that, right, when I look at the game, MLS is at this really interesting point in their existence where they've got a great partner in Apple who I think is amplifying the game in some great ways. Right. But these other leagues, they have so many different eyeballs on them and so many different voices covering the league that it makes it interesting. Right. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes negative press, it sucks to hear, but also like those are talking points, right? Like you have to have thick skin to be able to do that. And so I think the way that I want to look at, like the way I want to cover the league is like, I'm not going to be negative, but I think you need to be critical. I think you need to be critical when it calls for being critical. So then you can improve, like not only me, but like maybe the league and teams in general. Right. And so I'm really excited about the analyst part of it because I think that more can be done to break games down and break plays down like they do in Champions League coverage.
Yeah.
I think that's a really valuable aspect because players obviously know. They know when
that's
a play breaks down. And
bring us into your world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of just talking about it and saying this, show people.
Yeah.
And show people like where there can be differences. I mean, like media nowadays, it's so virtual and like you've got touchscreens and you've got technology where I can maybe jump into the screen and start doing what this person should have done. Like, who knows what's...
Sometimes I want to break into the studio because I hear a player go, oh, and he knows he should have made a different run.
What
was the run?
Correct.
What should he have done?
That's it. I think in media, like the one thing I'm going to have to be cognizant of is that I talk a lot and that's not going to fly when you are on a time crunch.
Yeah.
If I have 30 seconds to make a point, make the damn point. Yeah. You know, like
you
don't
set off his PTSD from working with me. Right?
There you go. Don't ramble. Like that's my biggest thing that I'm gonna have to come around to is like rambling. Can't do it. Just get in, get out, make your point. Like, be sure about what you're saying. Like, don't waffle.
Yeah.
And then just get out.
Yeah, because I'm excited to see, and I think that's a development from the media side and the analyst side is just. You know, I watch people talk about NFL, like people who just play like fantasy football, and they're like,
right.
Oh, you know, this 5-4 blitz, and there's a spy, and I'm like,
cover
the linebacker covering.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're just a casual person, and you know this stuff, and I think Major League Soccer could be covered in the exact same way, because I think there's a little bit of like, you know, I think fans would love to know this stuff, and some of them already do, but they have to like really search out
that
information.
That's what would help us with fantasy.
You know what I mean? Fantasy MLS.
Fantasy MLS.
I don't think I can get any insider info.
Based on XG. You know what I mean?
Well, Dax McCarty, man, we are absolutely stoked for this opportunity that you're going to have this year, and it's going to be great to see you. You know, whether that's calling games or in the studio on MLS 360.
The more decks, the better.
The more decks, the better. Now we're so huge.
It's the title of your reality show.
There you go. There you go.
So thanks so much for joining us, man. This has been super cool.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Of course.
Shout out to Dax McCarty.
Bro, Dax, what a legend.
What a legend that I...
Stepping in our game. I almost two-foot him, honestly. just to show him, like, welcome to the big leagues, so, Rook.
Yes, he... I was just mentioning that we took a photo with Dax, and I posted it on our Instagram stories, mm-hmm. and our DMs are basically like, boo!
Yeah, why you got this rebel guy on?
Okay, he doesn't play for them anymore.
Nah, he's in the media game now, dude. Okay. He's everyone's friend now.
He is, yeah, bro.
Dax is a lovable guy now. I think when he played, there's probably a lot of people who were like, ugh, this guy, because he was such a, he'd get in your face.
He's in your face, a competitor.
Yeah.
But you know what? We need some of those folks in media now, right. Okay? So it's nice to...
It can't just be me. It really gets under people's skin.
So shout out to Dax McCarty. Yes, we're still here at MLS Media Day, but we have to talk about some European footy because a lot's happened.
What's going on over there? Actually, let's talk about some news that broke while we were here.
Yeah.
West Ham, who's been terrible all season, has finally decided to break up with Julian Lopetegui.
That's right. West Ham are a team.
Julian.
Yeah. Are a team where I think the way I sort of view them, maybe because of their history and Lampard being there and starting out there and stuff like that. I just don't really. It's difficult to see them as this type of club like that who just can't seem to figure anything out. They got relegated a couple years ago and they made it back. But this seemed like very much a necessary decision. So now it seems like the reports are saying that Graham Potter will be taking over West Ham. But part of me is just like, why does Graham Potter even want this job?
I see it different. I see it as a team that just won their first European trophy not that long ago. Mm-hmm. You know, they got some big names. They sold Declan Rice for $100 million. You know what I mean? They got money now. They totally
they
different.
Spend it. Yeah.
They went out and got a BBL, bro. They got some money now. They switched stadiums from a traditional, the bowling ground to the much more Upton Park, if you will, to a much more modern,
No one likes it,
but it's got the suites. You know what I mean? It's got private boxes, and you can make a lot of money. And it's obviously a big, big stadium with more seats in it. The vibes aren't exactly just there yet, but I feel like it'll get there.
Right.
Certainly, whenever you switch from a more intimate ground to a big stadium, there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of time where you need to kind of get the vibes right. Happened at the Emirates for a long time. It was called the Library. Before it was called the Highbury Library, then the Emirates was kind of like a stale, didn't have the energy. And then all of a sudden, now it's a really tough place to play. So that takes time. But they were I felt like they were making the right moves to take those steps up, move forward. You got Suchek, who seemingly plays out of his skin. Bowen playing out of his skin. Paquetá is really good.
I just find like they're like underachieving. I mean,
well, look last year, right? That David Moyes kind of did okay, but everyone's like, we can do better.
And that's,
get us someone who plays a more attractive
and
style.
That's
they're like,
where you
how
go
about
wrong.
Lopetegui? And they're like, you don't know what we asked for.
And that's the problem. Is like as soon as you get to and a lot of fans of plenty of clubs do this. As soon as you get to like, we should be better. Then sometimes it gets worse right after that. And that's, I think, what the situation that they're currently in.
I get that, but you don't agree that David Moyes played such a boring style that you got some good young players that are coming up. You kind of want to get someone in there who's better at that kind of stuff.
In theory, you hope for that, but that's not always what's either available or what ends up happening.
Is this you being an Everton fan just defending David Moyes?
No.
Are you sure? No.
Do I think that David Moyes' time did it run its course? Not necessarily. I think that it does get they win a trophy. And then it's all of a sudden the ego is like, we should be better. We should be not just in your conference league. Maybe we should be in Europa. Maybe we should be in Champions League. And that isn't always.
It's like when John Mulaney leaves his lady for Olivia Munn. I'm a big star now.
And not everybody's happy about it. Right. So
there was other factors at play. I hope you're doing well, Doug. But, I feel like I get it. I think you and I are looking at West Ham as two different things, right? I feel like you have a more traditional view of what West Ham is. And I think I view it probably similar, like some of those fans that were being loud and boisterous about getting rid of David Moyes and bringing in somebody, you know, younger with better ideas that wants to play more attractive football. I think we're also in this weird pattern in the Premier League where every time like a more traditional manager loses their job, everybody wants a Pep Guardiola. Everybody wants a Mikel Arteta. Everybody wants a Fabian Hertzler. Mm-hmm. They want someone young and playing sexy style, or like, a De Zerbi when he was at Brighton. You know, from Potter to De Zerbi was such a big shift. You know, like, who's going to do better than Potter? No one's going to do better than Potter. Then all of a sudden, De Zerbi comes now who's going to do better than this guy? You know, I get that. Like, I kind of see where the fans are at.
But Potter would still be there. Potter only left because he got the opportunity at Chelsea.
And they paid.
And they paid. Exactly. So that, but that's the thing. It's like the fans.
But now Potter might be at West Ham.
So it's just the, and it's a, probably a better, a project that he can build upon and has maybe a little bit more influence versus being at Chelsea. But it just feels
Would you take the job at West Ham if you were Potter?
No. I wouldn't. No, I think he's.
You don't think West Ham is the right gig for him, or would you stay back and keep getting that Chelsea check?
I think
that's why I wouldn't take it.
I think he is a good enough manager to have a project with bigger stakes. Whether people are talking about him being the Manchester United manager. That's where I see Graham Potter right now.
His name was in the running for the English national
team. That's where I see him at right now. So West Ham, with all due respect, feels a little bit beneath Graham Potter.
Nah, you bugging, bro. They just won the Europa Conference.
Just how long ago, bro? How long ago?
2 years ago?
I don't even remember 2 years ago, bro.
Bro, when was the last time Everton won anything? And Carlo Ancelotti was the manager there.
Exactly. But where did he go? He went to Real Madrid, and he's still there. And was
slumming
stuff,
it.
Okay?
Slumming it in Madrid.
Potter went to Chelsea, and it didn't really work out well. Okay,
One move so, didn't work out. Do you think Potter will work out?
I do think. I mean, he's going to keep them up. I mean, I think that
they're not going to get relegated.
I think that that's where the cause to make the change is just like they're actually maybe a little bit nervous about it. But I just want to give one shout out. We haven't mentioned it throughout the last few weeks, but Mikel Antonio, he just got out of surgery. I didn't know that.
That's great.
So it looks like he's going to be okay. I don't know about his. I don't know how severe the injury is.
Who cares about his playing career right now?
But he's alive, and
the fact that he's alive and well is the most important thing. That was a really horrific crash.
Exactly.
I think actually it's just the last thing about Potter for me. I feel like he's going to get them back in top half of the table. He's going to get them in the top half of the table. West Ham has way too much talent.
It's wishful thinking. I don't think that.
Bro, you bugging.
All right. We got to talk about a few Carabao Cup matches.
Christian hates Eastern London teams, though.
Yeah, bro.
Get the billboard
build
going.
Build a wall between West and East London.
That worked out well for Berlin, didn't it?
Anyway, let's talk about some Carabao Cup matches. As we're recording this, the Tottenham
beat Liverpool in the first leg.
In the first leg, 1-0. Bergvall, I believe, was the
Bergvall. First career goal for Tottenham, I believe they said.
Okay, good for him. And then, and they also have a new goalkeeper that they just signed because Fraser
literally
forced
the other day.
About a week ago. Kinski, I believe his name.
From Slavia Prague, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so he was signed January 5th.
That's a Champions League team.
Slavia Prague. Yes. I'm like, Tottenham? What are you talking about?
No.
So, but he signs with Tottenham January 5th. He's playing in this Carabao Cup January 8th. And gets
apparently look good.
Yeah, and apparently look really good. So and wins his first game.
How did Matt Turner not get a sniff at Tottenham, bro?
Did he want to go there? I don't know.
Former Arsenal player.
I like that.
But they dropped him, so go.
So
I'm just thinking about him as an American goalkeeper out there.
Liverpool slipping up in this first leg. I mean, I'm not necessarily too worried in that. Also, why are these two legs? These semifinals. Are we serious?
You want single game elimination?
Come on.
You're just going to take all your complaints about the MLS playoffs and bring them over to the Carabao Cup?
They complain about fixture congestion and about they can't get win this one.
I agree with you. There was a big talk about getting rid of the two legs for the FA Cup.
Yeah, for like a replay.
I feel like Carabao was like,
bro, we got you then.
You know what I mean?
This just feels unnecessary to have two legs in this game.
It's a lot.
Yeah. What is it? The goddamn, you know, Liguilla in Mexico?
Four people who know about the Carabao Cup will get that joke. I'm looking forward to getting their emails.
Arsenal also played Newcastle in their first leg.
Yeah, bro. Mikel Arteta complaining about the balls, dog.
I didn't. You just remind me of that because I don't know the exact details.
So there was a lot of shots going over the crossbar. There was a lot of shots that were missed by Arsenal.
Because the ball is different.
The ball is different. It's a Puma ball.
Ah. Uh-huh.
And Mikel Arteta's like, yo, we checks over stripes out here, fam. We can't have no kitty cat on our ball, dog. He's complaining about the ball, but you know, I've never felt happier to not have to be on the morning show the next day
to defend
after an Arsenal game, because I gotta find a way to defend that. It's a dumb complaint. Maybe it's like real. Maybe the ball is different, but both teams play with the same ball.
Yeah,
we got beat 2-0 by Newcastle. Isak.
Who are Newcastle just an incredible, on fire right
yeah,
now.
Newcastle.
Yeah,
Newcastle. And Isak in particular. That's now 8 matches straight that Isak has scored. Yeah. I mean, he's killing it.
Anthony Gordon and Alexander Isak.
Your former player, Anthony Gordon, right?
Yes, former Everton player.
How's it feel to see him shining? When
the
one thing you can't do is score.
Look at Danjuma.
Balling, bro.
And I'm like, okay, we couldn't get even a little bit of this? No, that's just
that's the problem is when they put on the Everton shirt, they just like forget which foot is which.
Cursed. The miss from Kai Havertz. The deflected ball that's in the box. He's in the 6-yard box. All he has to do is literally hit the ball with almost any part of his body.
Literally, he could have fallen on the ball and it would have went.
And it's a goal. But he goes to head it and it hits his shoulder and it goes right outside the far post and it's a miss. It felt being down 2 goals and you see that moment. You even see his face. There's a little bit of just like
it's a missed opportunity.
There's
for sure.
No luck. It's like luck is not on our side today.
Yeah, I mean, this is my frustration as an Arsenal fan is that these things will happen sometimes, and it's like if you just listen to us, this wouldn't be happening because, like, you know, Gabriel Jesus, who can't score for months, you know, all of a sudden gets a hat trick against Crystal Palace and looks really good, and I think gets a brace in the next match, and he's absolutely killing it. All of a sudden, it feels like the front office, or maybe even Mikel Arteta is like, you know what? Maybe we don't need to go get a striker. Yeah, we'll be fine. And it's like those are the moments where, at the end of the season, this happened when Lacazette started scoring a lot, and people are like, yo, man, he's a little bit up there in age. He's not going to be able to carry the whole season, and you're going to see. And while he's playing incredibly well at Lyon and in France, when it came to the Premier League season, I get the feeling they didn't go out and get a striker because, like, well, Lacazette's doing well and we'll be fine. Yeah. And then you see towards the end of the season, it wasn't enough. And I feel like we're playing this tape over again. We're watching Havertz missing those big moments. He's having a great season otherwise.
Exactly, yeah. Because it's
just not enough.
It's weird to see the flip-flopping from Arsenal fans of, like, you know, sarcastically being like 60
million down the drain.
Yeah, like sarcastically.
Kai Havertz scores again.
And it's and then when he misses and misses those big opportunities, you're like, this is why we need a striker. Yeah,
Chelsea. They nicked a check off us.
Have you seen white dude with glasses that he's like always angry? He's an Arsenal fan, but he's angry, always angry about Arsenal.
Is that Lee Gunner?
I don't know his name. Does it start with ECO or something? I don't know what. Yeah. It's popping up on my TikTok a lot. And this dude, he's going in on Odegaard about why he doesn't deserve to be the captain. He's furious at Havertz. And
I feel like, you know, as much as I love and adore Arsenal Fan TV, the leftover, the wake of wave is all these people who think, if I'm just angry at Arsenal, I have a personality.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, I enjoy it.
I'm sure you're having a good time. Tottenham fans seem to be enjoying it. I, not so much.
Okay. So, look, they have a second leg. Let's see if they can come back. I mean, Liverpool has a better the result right now, only being down 1 goal. But Arsenal, it's going to be tough to do that at St. James Park.
Yeah, it is. 2-0 is going
to
be tough.
Now, to wrap up, we have to talk about the Italian Super Cup.
Right.
Because the final and the semifinal, AC Milan.
Copa de Pulisic, bro.
Yeah, bro. The Copa Americano.
Damn, at this point, might as well. I think you and I have talked about this before, but I have a friend from Milan, a massive Milanista.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, I was like, what about, Pulisic? And he's like, Ale, what is Pulisic? You want me to be excited about a Pulisic we had in Shevchenko? You know, Maldini, no Pulisic. He's okay. He's a good player, but no. That guy texted me without me texting him, because I tend to leave him alone during Milan matches, especially Derby della Mondanina. Mm-hmm. You know, I tend to leave him alone. He messaged me out of nowhere, Pulisic the maestro. And that, I think, is a tidbit that kind of gives you an idea as to how much we, like, I think Pulisic won us all over as a Milan player.
Right, right.
Pretty quickly, because we're like, see, that's what he didn't show you at Chelsea, because he wasn't given the chance. Look at him. Not only is he good, he's consistent.
Yeah.
But there's something else. There's something missing. And I think I was critical. I can't remember how you were during the moment when the penalty, when I think it was, who was it? It was Leao and Tail who took it or something, where...
Oh, the, when they were arguing who about, to take the penalty.
And it wasn't, even though, or whoever it was, maybe it was Tammy, whoever it was, I can't remember, but he kind of walked away. Pulisic, I mean, he knows he's the penalty kick taker, and he kind of walked away. And Fonseca had to come out and say, I don't know why that happened. Everyone knows Christian Pulisic is our penalty kick taker. That moment where all of us asked for him to be more assertive and more, I think a part of that and a leftover of that and an example of that is that it sometimes it feels like he shines in moments, but he doesn't take the game by the scruff of the neck. You know, he doesn't put him, he doesn't impose himself sometimes in a game and says, I'm going to not only am I going to take over, but I'm going to show you all how this is supposed to be done. He just has these flashes of brilliance. This is the game. Where he said,
I would argue both games, the semifinal and the final.
Yeah, yeah, semifinal for sure. But yeah, I think a final is different. A final, the feeling is different. You're going against your lifelong rival. This moment was the one that said to me where he was like, "Bruh, watch this." And he's like, "Not only am I going to pass to you, I'm going to pass it to you in a position where the only thing you can do is pass it to this guy and score."
Yeah. It was a fabulous pass.
I am in awe of that pass, and I'm in awe of like to pass it in that spot where he has to make that run that puts him in a position to make the pass to the center is just circumstances impossible. That wasn't by happenstance. That was on purpose.
Sure.
And that was the moment where I'm like, bro, that's, you're becoming that player. You're not Shevchenko. And that's a very tall task to ask someone to be Shevchenko this early in their career. That was over time, excellence upon excellence upon excellence. But this goes in that file. This is one of the exhibit A's. This is one of the examples you will show. If he has a long story career at Milan, this is one of the first things you're going to show where you're like, this is where he became the guy at Milan.
And he did it on January 6th.
Bro, his favorite day. It's almost as if he stormed the opposing half, you know? Took no prisoners.
Had a spectacular game. I mean, not only the goal, but again, that pass.
He wants to make Milan great again.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I love the... also, the semifinal was interesting because he earned the penalty and scored the penalty as well. And the penalty wasn't necessarily that great.
No.
But it got past the keeper.
Whatever. All you have to do is score him.
But I love that, especially even in that game, two Americans at Juve, two Americans at Milan. And
Weston
McKennie had a good game.
Bro, that little rainbow flick.
Rainbow flick?
He was
like,
stunned on him.
And then the...
He's really coming to his own at Juventus for the second year in a row. Yeah.
And then the goal from Yunus Musa, the own goal, but the deflection. It was just...
I don't care. I'm so happy for Yunus. I don't care how that went in.
That was just such a great moment, I think, just for...
You know what meant the most to me? It was the celebration afterwards. You saw how much the other players were like, you're doing it.
Right.
That's good for his confidence.
Exactly, yeah. So just a super, super entertaining pair of matches, and I think a lot on the line, especially for the U.S. men's national team players.
I know we probably don't have a lot of time, and we're literally getting the wrap. Motion, but what, talk to me about Conceição's dancing.
Yeah, I saw him with the cigar.
There's a lot of this. There's a lot of this, and then it was a lot of hip thrusting. You're the coach, and also it lasted a lot longer than I thought.
It did, and it's also the fact of like, bro, you're new here. I mean, why are you so comfortable?
You ever see like someone walk into a school and immediately become the cool guy? That's Conceição. You're like, damn, dog, I was the funny one until this guy walked in. Where are you from? Comedy Academy?
Why are you so confident?
A clown school? Where'd you come from, dog? He is by far the coolest person on that team.
I think it says a lot to be down in the game and end up winning. They were down 2-0 and they end up winning 3-2. So I don't know exactly what happened at halftime.
Inzaghi said our defenders retired. And he goes, we should have... We let them through the door. We should have closed it earlier. It's like, that's the thing. They've never lost after being down 2-0.
Wow.
Inzaghi, being under Inzaghi. Being up 2-0.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah, I am. Look, and to do that in a final, to do that against that team, in Inter Milan that are playing fantastically this season, and especially AC Milan, they fired their coach for a reason. They were in a really bad
mediocre run.
Yeah, but it's just like they are they even going to be in Champions League next year? Like that they should at the very least be a top four with the amount of talent that they have.
Fonseca had beaten Inter before, in this year.
Yeah.
But that was when it was equal 1-1, and then they scored.
Yeah.
This is being down 2-0 in a final. This is a different level.
I agree. And again, you know, Pulisic especially has already won stuff with Chelsea,
Champions League winner,
and so he has a fair amount of trophies. But this one feels a lot more like
it's his.
Yeah, like yeah. And more than anything, like almost like he led the team to this success as well. So
Pulisic, the maestro, bro.
Bro, even the Italians are on board.
In fact, I'm glad you like him. But yo, stop glazing, dog. Chill.
Okay, that's our January 6th game. Bro.
Hell bro. He said, "Stop the steal, dog."
All right, everybody. Thank you again for tuning in to this special MLS Media Day episode. We're excited to be here. We have be on the lookout because we're taping a bunch of interviews while we're here. They're going to be coming out all leading up to the MLS season, which starts February 20th, 21st, something along those lines. So a lot to look forward to. So if you're an MLS fan, stay locked in because we have a lot of really, really great interviews with some big, big names in the league. And so shout out to MLS for just even putting us, we got our own space.
Bro, look at this.
All right, as it should be.
Honestly, I might get a bed in a fridge in here and just call it my home in Miami, bro.
Okay. What's the rent here like?
Yeah, we could afford it.
Okay. So shout out to everybody.
We're doing everything. Every New Yorker comes, I can afford whatever I want in this city.
So shout out to everybody also at Yahoo Sports and One Football.
We're going to do a No Cup recap while we're here.
Oh, that's right. So make sure
we'll do a No Cup, and we'll talk about our dinner at Rayo's.
I know everybody wants to hear about that.
They've got to be excited.
A shout out to Carter, Ismael, Adi,
the whole
Yahoo team.
Steve, Bob, there's a lot of people back there. It's okay.
They sent 45 people.
Yeah, honestly, it's a lot.
You don't even understand the behind the scenes that it takes to get us ready to do these
interviews.
Christian
gets on the bus and he starts doing, he does roll call. That's how many people are here.
Okay. Everybody, wear your name tags because there's a lot of us.
Ezekiel, there's a lot of people here, bro.
So shout out to everybody at Yahoo for making all of this happen. So, like I said, again, all those interviews are going to be coming out soon. Make sure you subscribe to the Cooligans on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast if you listen to the audio, if that's your preference. We have another episode coming on Monday. We'll be back in studio. A lot to look forward to. So thank you, everybody.
The Cooligans don't stop, bro.
We don't stop. Can't stop, won't stop.
Nope, don't say that.
No. we
Show's not brought to you by baby oil.
All right, everybody. We'll see you Monday. Cheers.
Love you guys.